President Trump is ratcheting up the attacks against Democrats while praising the actions he's taken since becoming president. That's nothing new for a president. What is different, though, is the amount of false claims he's been challenged on as we get closer and closer to Election Day. The Washington Post has called his recent attacks over the top and astonishing. One example, on Monday, the president tweeted that criminals and unknown Middle Easterners are mixed into the group of migrants that's moving toward the U.S. from Central America. When a CNN reporter pressed him about the claim the next day, Trump said he gets very good information from agents on the border and reiterated that assertion.
And I spoke to him literally last night. I spoke to another one this morning. Very good relationship with Border Patrol and ICE. And they say it happens all the time from the Middle East. It's not even saying bad or good, but some real bad ones. But if they intercept, well, they could very well be.
But there's no proof.
There's no proof of anything. There's no proof of anything, but they could very well be.
So what are we to believe when it comes to these kinds of statements, not just from President Trump, but other elected officials, candidates, surrogates, advocacy groups, and the like? And how should the media report on these statements? Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota and director of the Silha Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law. Jane, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, what do you think of the role of the media? There's debate, there's pushback from the public. When a politician makes a false statement, can a reporter call it a lie?
That's a magic word, isn't it? Because for many, many years, journalists took the view that if they called people liars, they were courting a libel suit, and they didn't want to do that. They also thought that calling something a lie was essentially an editorial conclusion that overrode their commitment to objectivity. But I think if you've got someone knowingly making a false statement of fact, that is a lie, and I think it should be called out as such.
Politicians play fast and loose with the truth sometimes. I think it's fair to say they exaggerate. Sometimes they outright lie. Is President Trump, was candidate Donald Trump, is President Trump something different? Is this something that the media hasn't really dealt with before?
Well, you're absolutely right that all politicians are given to hyperbole and to lack of precision, and that's part of our political discourse. But I do think that we have something else going on here. And I frankly don't know, because I'm not a psychologist. I don't know if this is an elaborate plan. I don't know if this is something that is being engineered by foreign powers. But what I do know is that we're seeing a volume of falsehoods coming from this president that I've certainly never experienced in my lifetime. I can't say what happened in the 18th century or the 19th century necessarily. But it isn't just a question of being imprecise or shading the truth. As your clip that you just played shows, the president makes statements for which he has no factual basis whatsoever and yet feels perfectly comfortable couching them in terms of phrases like, well, it may very well be. But that gets translated in many people's minds as a statement of fact, and it's simply not true.
Former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci had a brief tempestuous span in the White House. He was on CNN this week and accused the president of being dishonest, something he said all politicians do. But he said Trump's falsehoods, not a big deal, mostly a sideshow.
We both know that he's telling lies. OK, so if you want me to say he's a liar, I'm happy to say he's a liar. But I'm telling you that those people that I wrote about in that book and the research that I did on it, on the levels of the weighted average of what they really care about, they care way less about that, John, and they care way more about, okay, we finally have a president that's my advocate. And so all of that other nonsense that he does, that existential nonsense, is less important to them.
So, Jane, that's a more or less supporter of the president saying he lies, but it's no big deal. So as the public watches it, as the media watches it, should we ignore that stuff and focus on the actual executive actions of the White House?
Well, I think it's possible to do more than one thing simultaneously. We have plenty of news media out there that are fully capable of doing both of these things. I just don't see how anybody in the electorate can have a sensible discussion about policy or about the causes that many people consider to be terribly important if they don't have a sound factual basis for doing that. If you don't have a factual basis, then it's all either wishful thinking or fantasy that is driving your decisions. And I think there's a segment of the population, and I'm not saying it's exclusively Trump supporters. There are probably other people that also operate this way, who want to hear statements with which they agree that reaffirm their worldview. And if somebody will do that, then they'll be happy to follow them. If someone challenges that, they will push it away because it makes them feel uncomfortable, insecure, and basically disrupts their view of the world. You know, I think one of the things I will tell my students, or if I'm out speaking to the public, is that it's incumbent upon all of us to challenge ourselves and to seek out sources of information that are reliable, but which don't necessarily agree with our preconceived notion. But increasingly today, it seems like people seek out the things that reaffirm what they already think is true and go from there with the assumption that, in fact, it is.
Talking to Jane Curley from the University of Minnesota, director of the Selha Center for the Study of Media, Ethics, and Law, talking about the role of media in challenging inaccurate statements, lies from political figures, President Trump and others. Jane, we've seen this rise in these things called fact checkers, fact checking groups. Their whole job is to take statements from usually politicians, run them through, track them down, see if they're true or not, and then rate them true, false, or somewhere in between. There's a lot of this. Does it make any difference?
I don't know if it ultimately makes any difference if you're talking about the small percentage, I hope it's a small percentage of people, who really are not interested in having the way they view the world challenged. But if you're talking about people who would like to get to facts, I'm not going to say the truth, because there probably isn't the truth out there, but we know that there are facts that are provable, and what I think many of these fact checkers are doing is testing that. Sometimes I know that some of the fact checkers, like the ones of the Washington Post, for example, will rate things on a sliding scale. They'll say something like mostly true, mostly false. And that's reality oftentimes, because sometimes it's hard to get to the ultimate facts. And, of course, sometimes, again, politicians are speaking in a rhetorical way, and they're maybe not intending to say that something is literally true or false. But it seems to me that there's a tremendous hunger out there for truth. The problem is that so many people have been conditioned now to believe that no one in the news media, whatever that means, is actually interested in giving them unvarnished facts, but want to spin it. And so therefore, they will trust primarily the institutions that they're most comfortable with and discount information that comes from those that they don't.
There's a lot of debate over how to present an inaccurate statement. A headline, if it's politician says blank, and that's a false statement, are you just transmitting the false statement? If you say politician inaccurately says blank, well, are you maybe riding over some of that gray area you were just talking about? How do you, in a headline, in a lead, state that without restating it and stating that it's false?
Well, it's not always possible to get it into the headline, but I hope you could get it into the lead paragraph, the first paragraph or so, to say that this politician is making this claim, but in fact, the truth is X. I think it's important to do those things. The notion that objectivity means that you present all sides in a neutral way presumes that all sides are acting in good faith, and sadly, what we've been learning in the last few years is that is not always the case.
President Trump was in Wisconsin, in Mosinee, Wisconsin, yesterday to campaign for Governor Scott Walker, Senate candidate Leah Vukmir. He said Democrats, he criticized other Democrats around the country. And then he said this about the media. He was talking here about Democrats on immigration in California.
I said the other night, jokingly, probably a Rolls Royce. And one of these people said, he said he's going to give them a Rolls Royce. And he did not say that. The governor never... You can't joke with these people. You can't be even a little sarcastic.
So how do we know when a public figure, President Trump, is joking, engaging in playful hyperbole to even take a statement and say, okay, we need to evaluate the truthfulness of it?
Well, I think the reality is that although certainly there are politicians that will make jokes, we also know that oftentimes saying, I was just kidding, I was just joking, is the response of a bully who's being called on telling a falsehood or uttering a statement that is offensive. I would like to think that as a nation we do retain a sense of humor, and there certainly is a place for humor in politics. But when you're making a factual statement that you know your audience is very likely to take as such, it seems to me you have a responsibility to be clear-cut about what you're doing. And I think President Trump frequently doesn't do that.
We're talking about political fact-checking with Jane Kirtley, professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota. You can join the discussion at 800-642-1234. How do you evaluate the truthfulness of political claims? What do you think the role of the media should be in calling out public figures when they say things that are factually wrong? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about some of the false claims made recently by President Trump and how we can fact check what political candidates, elected officials, advocacy groups, and others are saying. Jane Kirtley is with us, professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. What do you do to evaluate political claims? Do you follow fact checkers? Should the media say, if someone's made a factual misstatement with intent, should an article say it was a lie? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. To your calls now, we'll go to Mark in Webb Lake. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up how does, like, a clinical narcissism fall into this, where they get defensive and to anybody who objects to their point of view?
Mark, thanks for the call. As you said earlier, Jane, you're not a psychologist, so we don't need to evaluate the motivations here. But is there a role for the media in exploring motivations for false statements?
I think there is. I don't think journalists should engage in psychological analysis of someone, but I'm a big believer in reporting what someone says, what someone does, and allowing the reader, the viewer, the listener to draw their own conclusions. I mean, from the beginning with President Trump, there's been a lot of sort of backhanded psychology trying to figure out what's motivating him or what's not. You know, I don't know the answer to that. For all I know, this is all being orchestrated by Vladimir Putin, and it really doesn't have anything to do with Trump's psychology. I think what we ought to be doing is saying, here's what he's saying, here's what the reality is, draw your own conclusions from there.
Back to our calls. Thanks, Mark. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi. I think that what Trump is doing is, we should realize, it's historically a true, unfortunately, red, white, and blue aspect of American politics. White racist nationalism existed in the 19th century with the Know Nothing Party that arguably morphed into the Ku Klux Klan. In the 20th century, we have seen Richard Nixon's Southern strategy, the Dixiecrats, the independent George Wallace candidacy for the presidency. And in the 21st century, the bogeyman, for the Know Nothings, it was the Irish and the Italians. In the 20th century, it was African Americans. And now it's Hispanics and Muslims, or people of the Muslim faith. And Trump is simply exploiting this traditional American nativist racist history in our political discussions and policies. And I'll be interested in a guest response.
Jim, thanks for the call. Jane, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think it's certainly correct that we do have a long history in this country of the kind of nativism or nationalism, or however you want to phrase it, that Trump is summoning up as part of his campaign. He didn't begin this. He is simply exploiting it. And I think it's quite true that this is one of the factors that exists in the American psyche. And the key, I think, is to keep pointing it out. I'm a believer in reading history and paying attention to history and looking at parallels in history and pointing them out, because there really isn't anything particularly new under the sun. What we hope will not do is repeat the mistakes of the past.
Jim, thanks for the call. Going on to Charlie on the line in Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say, to get both a more accurate point of view, I try to sample many different sides of the issue to try and get a more complete picture. I watch not only Fox News or listen to conservative radio, but I also listen to MSNBC and CNN, to try and see what the accurate or the actual middle ground is, and from that try to have a more knowledgeable and informed opinion.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Jane, what do you think of that idea, trying to get a range, even if you don't think of one media outlet as totally reliable, trying to get that range of sources?
I think it's an excellent idea, and the wonderful thing about living when we do now is that it's easier to do that than it ever has been historically before. I guess the one cautionary comment I would make, though, is that one of the things that concerns me is that if you buy the idea, and I'm just doing this as sort of a hypothetical, that Fox or MSNBC or CNN or whoever it is has an editorial agenda, then by that very nature, you are likely to discount even their factual reporting. I think it's really incumbent upon us to force ourselves to draw a distinction between editorial commentary, between pundits, and between reporting. Because, you know, as the old line goes, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not to your own facts. And hopefully, we could get a consensus on the facts, even though we might disagree on what conclusions to draw from them.
In our last few moments, do you think that there's a lot of media out there that is doing a good job of presenting the facts, well, maybe not perfectly, but in mostly an unbiased way?
I think that they do exist, and I think, again, if you're concentrating on the news pages as opposed to the editorial and commentary part or the straight news reporting, the truth is out there and it can be found. But I would absolutely agree that even putting aside the issue of editorial spin, different news organizations will emphasize different things. And if you want a full smorgasbord, you need to try a lot of different choices.
We'll leave it there for now. Jane, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks. It was my pleasure.
Jane Curley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota and director of the Silha Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law. We talked with her about recent false statements by President Trump and how media can fact check claims by politicians and what media consumers can do, too.